thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But if you have your Bible with you, if you want to turn to the book of Samuel, so it's 1 Samuel, and we're going to be reading from verse 4 down to verse 20. Just even the words that we were singing this morning, even the words that our brother shared around the table about a place of surrender, I do believe that God has something to say to us today. The sense of his presence is beautiful. You know, just even coming around the Lord's table, the sense of his presence is absolutely wonderful. If you have your Bible ready, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 4 to 20. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions to the meat to his wife Peninnah and her sons and daughter. But Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. They went up 1 year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the door of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forsake your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way, and that something on her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, she arose and worshipped before the Lord and went back to her home at Ramoth. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked for him. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his words. Just let's pray for a moment. Father, we just thank you for these words. We do pray that as we turn to this living truth that you have given us, we just pray that your hand would be upon everything that I would say. I pray, Father God, that you would lead, that you would guide, and that you would direct me. Lord, I pray that you would even speak through me, through the Holy Spirit. I pray for ears to hear and a heart that are open. Lord, just speak, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, the story of Hannah, you know, I would say is one of the most powerful examples of prayer in the Bible. It reveals a woman who carried, you know, deep pain, but refused to let that pain separate her from God. Instead, she brought her sorrow to him. You know, Hannah, as we have read, lived in a difficult situation. Her husband, Elkanah, had two wives. I don't know about you, men, but I think one wife's enough. But he had two. So he had, and she lived in a difficult situation. The other wife was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And we read in verses 5 and 6, it says that the Lord had closed her womb. You know, and in that culture, you know, within society, that situation, you know, carried a deep emotional, social pain. You know, the phrase suggests that Hannah's barrenness was not merely a biological circumstance, but something understood in the framework of God's sovereignty. You know, for Hannah, this could have created, you know, a profound, you know, spiritual struggle. On one hand, she believed in a God who had the power to give life and to give blessing. But on the other hand, she was living with the painful reality that God had not granted her a child. Therefore, her suffering carry both emotional and theological weight. You know, every year, chapter 1 tells us that they travelled up to the place called Shiloh. You know, Shiloh was a place where the tabernacle of the Lord was located. You know, as people travelled to Shiloh, Shiloh was meant to be a place of a sacred place of worship. Shiloh was a place of sacrifice. Shiloh was a place of restoration. Shiloh was a place just like Balamun Elam, where people came to be refreshed, to be restored, and to be built up in our faith. And what we see from our story in verses 6 and 7, you know, it tells us that her advocate, the other wife, the other half, provoked Hannah year after year, causing deep distress within her mind and within her soul. And yet when she travels to Shiloh, yet Hannah's pain follows her. Follows her to the house of the Lord. And what we read, she provoked her, she agitated her, she kept saying the things in the very place where she was meant to be restored, the very place where she was meant to be built up, the very place where she was meant to find healing, she finds conflict. Now what does this show us? Even in holy places, you know, even in churches, you know, human brokenness, jealousy can still appear. But it highlights a powerful truth for us this morning, church. You know, in a place, God's presence doesn't really remove our struggles sometimes. Let me say that again. The place of God's presence does not remove our struggles instantly. And for many of us this morning, we maybe have came to Balamun Elam and we all look great on the outside. Life seems wonderful looking down from the front. But maybe you've came into church this morning and you're feeling broken. You maybe come into church and you're maybe feeling condemned. And just because God's presence is here doesn't mean that them struggles instantly disappear. And maybe like Hannah this morning, we can feel mocked, we can feel humiliated by circumstances or by people who don't understand what's going on in the season that we find ourselves in. But in verse 6 and 7, when we see, you know, the other half mocked Hannah. In verses 14, we see Eli misunderstood Hannah when she stood praying. And the reality is we all face voices. You know, we all have sometimes maybe weakened faith, and sometimes voices come from people within church. Sometimes them voices come from our own fears and from our own minds. Sometimes they come from spiritual opposition, where we come into God's place and into God's house, and you know, the enemy would whisper things like, God has forgotten about you. And many of us have heard that. You know, maybe, you know, your prayer will never be answered. You know, you've been praying for years. We've heard maybe in our own mind, oh, you're just wasting your time. And maybe sometimes the enemy would come along and he would use, you know, the comparison of others. You know, to place doubt on your mind. You know, look what God has done for them, but he hasn't done that for you. And the enemy would love to come and whisper these types of things. No, to use criticism to weaken our faith so we'll give up and give in. But what we see from Hannah's story and Hannah's response shows another path. It shows a better way for you and I to follow God. Instead of allowing bitterness, instead of allowing, you know, our heart to grow cold, it shows us that we can bring our pain to God. We can bring the openness of our heart. We can bring the messiness of our hearts in seasons of waiting, as God unfolds his plans in our life. You have three simple points this morning. A prayer from brokenness, a prayer from the heart, and a prayer of surrender. You know, prayer from brokenness is sort of found in verses 10, 15 to 16. You know, in verse 10, the Bible says that Hannah was in bitterness of soul and she wept much. You know, it shows that the emotional pain that this woman was in. For years she has struggled. For years she's endured humiliation. For years she has endured childlessness, the constant provocation of her other half. The suffering was long and it was persistent. There seems to be no hiding place from it. And when Hannah finally prays in the sanctuary, she did not hide her emotions. Her grief was visible. Her grief was visible. We see in verses 12 and 13, we read that she prayed silently, moving her lips but making no sound. Moving her lips, but making no sound. And when Eli saw it, she was misunderstood for her behavior. And Eli asked the question in verse 14, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Put your wine away. But we see the response of Hannah and her heart in verses 15 to 16. She says, "Not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." You know, this phrase reveals the depths of her suffering. Verse 15 says that she poured out her soul to the Lord. As she went to Shiloh, she poured out her soul to the Lord. And what this does for you and I this morning, church, it shows us that there is an invite that goes out. There's an invite that goes out for broken people. There's an invite that goes out for people who struggle. There's an invite that goes out with people who have got anguish and grief in their lives. And God invites us, just as he invited Hannah, invites us to be honest before him. You see, Hannah didn't pretend that everything was fine. We're good at that in Northern Ireland, aren't we? How are you keeping? Everything's great. Everything's brilliant. We put the mask on, we walk in the church, and everything's okay. But Hannah didn't pretend that everything was fine. The scripture tells us that she cried, she grieved, she prayed. And the reality is, you know, brokenness doesn't disqualify us from prayer. Often brokenness, what it does, it leads us into a deeper place into God's presence. I have found that in my own life, when things are maybe just not all tickety-boo, and things are just not running smoothly. You know, it's them moments of darkness, them moments when dread comes in, them moments of fear, that it drives me into the place of prayer. And many of us today, can I say this morning, can walk in here carrying burdens. Could maybe be unanswered prayers. We've been praying for years for something and God just hasn't shown up yet. It might be personal struggles that we're all facing. It might be emotional wounds of the past. Maybe we're in a season of waiting on God for his plans to be unfolded. But one Old Testament scholar points out that Hannah's silent prayer demonstrates God listens to the sincerity of the heart. He listens to the sincerity of the heart. That leads me on to my next point. Point two, a prayer from the heart. What we see in verses 12 and 13 is another remarkable feature of Hannah's prayer and how she approached God. Verse 13 says that Hannah was praying in her heart. As I've said, her lips were moving. Her voice was not heard. This was not a public display of religion. Hannah was not trying to impress anyone. She was speaking directly to God. And it reveals something powerful about her prayer. You see, prayer is not defined by volume or eloquence. You know, we've all seen people pray in their prayer meetings and you hear people say, "Oh, I'd love to be able to pray like you, brother. The way you pray unto the Lord is great." And I love being in prayer meetings where everybody's praying together. Pentecostal prayer meetings where everybody comes together with one voice under heaven. You know, God hears it all. No, he's not defined just by one voice praying all the time. When men and women come together and have a burden and they pray together and they lift their voices before God and there's noise in the house, God understands and he sees it all. But prayer is not defined by volume or elegance. See, true prayer begins in the heart. True prayer begins in the heart. You see, Hannah's silent prayer reminds us that God listens even to silent prayers. God listens when there's not even a word spoken. There are moments in life when things are difficult, when words are hard to express, whether it's pain, disappointment. We're left speechless many times. But the great thing about God Almighty is God understands the language of our heart. That's where it starts. God understands the language of our heart. You see, silent prayer is still real prayer. Even though our words are not being spoken out, even though we're speaking inwardly, our mind and our heart, our soul is seeking God's face. And for us, what does this mean? You know, we can pray anywhere. That's the beautifulness of being a Christian. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to a mosque. We don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go to a shrine. No matter where we are during quiet moments, we just can sit and whisper in our own hearts. Whether it's in crowded places, we can whisper in our hearts. In the middle of a difficult day, during sleepless night, God hears the quietest of prayers. God sees our heart. And Hannah also demonstrated within this prayer a deep focus. You know, within Shiloh, it would have been busy. People moving about, people praying, people crying unto the Lord. But her mind was steadfast towards heaven and towards God. Her prayer was personal. Her prayer was sincere. Her prayer was focused. It reminds us that this prayer wasn't about performance. It was about the language of the heart. I remember before, you know, giving my life to the Lord, coming back to the Lord 20-odd years ago. And I sat in a service with maybe about 2,000 people. And I didn't have to shout out, didn't have to utter vocal words out on the Lord. I sat in my seat and I prayed internally from the heart. You see, the heart was sincere. It was heart language. And I cried out unto the Lord from the depths of my soul, sitting, even though there were thousands, 2,000 people in an auditorium. They didn't know what I was saying, didn't know what I was crying out from, didn't see the brokenness, didn't see the anguish, didn't see the hurt, didn't see the mess. But God saw the language of the heart. He saw the language of the heart. And even sitting here this morning, church, you might say, I can't pray in their prayer meeting. I can't stand at the front. I can't say words the way you say them, Danny. But you know something? God sees the language of your heart. Even if you just send them words within your soul, God sees it all and He understands. See, this prayer reminds us that it's a prayer of surrender. You see, the most remarkable part of Hannah's prayer appears in verse 11. She makes a vow unto God. She says, Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me and give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. You see, Hannah's request was not motivated only by personal desires. You know, she promised the Lord that if he gave her a child, that she would dedicate that child back to him. And what does this reveal? It reveals a heart of surrender. Her brother said it this morning, coming around the table. The Christian life is about surrender. And what we see with Hannah, she had a heart of surrender. Hannah was willing to give back to God the very blessing that she asked for. Her prayer was not simply about removing, you know, her pain or restoring her reputation within her community. It was about honoring God. You know, verse 11 says that no razor will be used upon his head. You know, this reflects, you know, the Nazarite vow described in the book of Numbers. A vow where her son will be completely dedicated unto the service of the Lord. Johanna was committing this prayer, this future blessing, even though she didn't know whether she was going to receive it or not. She says, Lord, if you bless me, I will bless you. And what this does, it teaches an important lesson this morning, church. You see, true prayer, language off the heart, is about surrender. Praying unto the Lord is about surrender. You know, many of us, you know, pray for personal things. Scriptures encourage that every day, every day. You know, the birds in the tree doesn't have food, and to seek the Lord for every blessing for every day. You know, and our prayers can be selfish, can't they? You know, it's all about me. Lord, will you do this for me, and will you do that for me, and will you provide this, and will you provide that? Our prayers become very inward and very selfish. But Hannah shows that the prayer should also seek the purposes of God. She was willing to say, Lord, if you bless me, that blessing belongs to you. Listen to that. Lord, if you bless me, that blessing belongs to you. Lord, if you bless me with finances, that blessing belongs to you. Lord, if you bless me with children, that blessing belongs to you. I'm willing to invest that into your kingdom. You know, a word of hope. In verse 17, it says, after hearing Hannah's explanation, Eli blesses her and says, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant your petition. So even though Eli, the prophet, doesn't know the answer, he gives her a blessing, and it seems to be a turning point in the story. We see in verse 18, I think one of the most remarkable details in the passage that appears. It says that Hannah went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. After coming up to Shiloh, After expressing her grief, her anguish, her pain, after being misunderstood as being drunk in the place of the Lord, at this moment, Hannah walks away and something has changed within her. She walks away and her face is not sad anymore. She is still childless. She still doesn't have an answer. Her circumstances haven't changed. But the most important thing that has changed, her heart has changed. The heart language that she expressed unto the Lord. As she left the temple, she leaves in peace. You see, this transformation reflects the deep trust that Hannah now has in God. By pouring out her heart, by pouring out her emotions, surrendering the outcome of her prayer, she fully placed the burden. She fully placed her anguish, she fully placed her grief into the hands of the one who created the heavens. She simply laid her burdens down. And one Bible scholar says in verse 18, it illustrates a key principle of prayer. The peace often comes before the answer. When believers truly surrender their concerns to God, that they can experience an inner peace even before circumstances change. A peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what Hannah felt within her soul. A peace that God was in control. She set it down. We read in verses 19 to 20 that eventually Hannah's prayer was answered. The Bible says that the Lord remembered her. That doesn't mean that, you know, that the Lord had forgotten her. It just means that it was time for God to come and act. The bigger plan for the land of Israel. She conceived a son, named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel would become one of the greatest prophets and most important people within Israel's history. And through him, he would guide Israel and steer Israel through crucial periods of time. But when Hannah, what came as a personal problem for Hannah at the very beginning, personal sorrow became of God's greater plan. And sometimes, church, we don't see the greater plan. We just see what's straight in front of us. Things might be hindering in our lives. Things mightn't be going to plan. We might be going through difficult circumstances. But yet, in the midst of all, God is working all things out for His glory and for His namesake. You know, God often works through seasons of waiting to fulfill His timetable. And the reality is sometimes when we're seeking the Lord, answers come very quickly. Sometimes they come after long periods of faith and perseverance. But God's timing always reflects His perfect will. You know, what we see here in the story of Hannah and her prayer teaches us to respond with persistence, which is an act of faith. And what this story does, you know, it reminds us that God hears the prayers of the brokenhearted. It reminds us that the silent prayer, the tearful prayer, the persistent prayer, the surrendered prayer, but the greatest comfort is found today in Jesus Christ. Why? Because of His death, because of His resurrection, because of His ascension to the right hand of the Father, we have access into the Holy of Holies. You know, Scripture tells us that He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I, that He prays for you and I. He stands as our mediator. You know, Hebrews 4 tells us that even we have one who was tempted in every single way, yet without sin. It says, let approach His throne with boldness and confidence that we might receive mercy and find help in our time of need. He understands you. There's many times I think my wife doesn't understand me. But God understands me. He understands my weakness. He understands my sorrow. He understands my waiting. And also for you, God understands you. What nobody else knows, He understands the language of your heart. He sees it all. When our prayers feel weak, Jesus strengthens them. When we do not know what to pray for, He steps in and prays for us. See, because of Jesus, our prayers are found and heard. Our hearts are known and our hope is secure because of Christ. You see, Hannah's prayer demonstrates to us this morning, church, that God invites us. He invites us to bring our deep sorrow. He invites us to bring our deep mess. He invites us to bring our pain, our hopes, our unanswered questions. He invites us to come before him in adoration and in worship and humility and to set the things down till his feet. That we can trust the same God. We can trust the same God that Hannah had put her faith in. You see, the character of Hannah reveals a woman of deep faith. It reveals a woman who had perseverance, demonstrated spiritual maturity and suffering and persistent in prayer. Her life shows that faith is not the absence of pain, but it's a decision to trust God when we don't have his answers. That is the reality of the Christian life. There is pain, and we don't always have the answers. I came across this analogy on YouTube there a couple of months back, and I've sent it to my family a couple of times. You know, if I held up this, you know, glass of water and ask you how heavy it is, I'm sure if you looked around the room and asked for answers, you would give me many different answers. But the reality is, it doesn't matter, you know, how heavy this glass of water is. It depends on how long I hold it. You know, if I hold it for a minute, there's no problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'm sure my arm will start to get heavy and start to get weak. But if I hold this for a full day, the reality is it will paralyze me. It will paralyze everything because I'm holding on. You see, the weight of the bottle hasn't changed, but the longer I hold on to it, causes problems. Causes problems. You see, this glass is like the stress of the world, the worries of life. We think about them for a little while, it doesn't cause any much problems. We think about them for maybe a day, maybe we'll be all right. But if we continue to hold on and to think about the problems for longer, we can become paralyzed and incapable of making any decisions. The reality is, we have to remember, it doesn't matter what's in the glass, it matters how long we hold on to it. My arm's getting tired already holding on to this. It matters how long we hold on to it. And for Hannah held on to her anguish. She held on to her grief. She held on to her pain. She held on to this burden for years. And she was tormented and she was broken. And it wasn't till she came to the place of Shiloh to meet with the maker of heaven and of earth, where she poured out this grief, poured out this turmoil that she was in, and she never even spoke a word. It was internally. And what Hannah done that day, she set her stress, she set her problems, she set her pain down at the feet of the one who could do something about it. And don't we have them scriptures that tells us, no, cast your cares on him. You know, that word cast means to throw. To throw it at Jesus because he's able to take it. So we don't have to carry our burdens. Why? Because he cares for you and I. You see, Hannah sat down her pain that day. She sat down her anguish. And what we see in verse 18, she encountered Christ. She encountered God. She encountered the peace. She encountered the restoration. She walked out changed, even though she didn't have the answer. She walked out transformed with a new heart and with a new perspective that God was in control. And maybe for some of us today, you need to hear that. You've been holding your problems for too long. It's nearly become nearly like a crutch. It's part of your identity. It's part of who you are. Well, God invites each one of us this morning to come and to have our heart radically changed, radically transformed, just by coming and saying, Lord, you see, in this moment and in this space, I want to walk out of this place differently than the way I've come in. I've come in with the world on my shoulders, and I might not have all the answers, but I'm setting it down at your feet, just like that glass of water. I'm setting it down at your feet, and I'm leaving it there. We have a habit of coming into church, don't we? You know, we come in with the world on our shoulders, and we set our problems down at the foot of the cross, and just before you walk out of the car, oh, I forgot something. And you come back up to the church, and you lift your bag, and you walk out and take your problems with us. That is the reality. But for Hannah, her heart was transformed. Even the complexion of her face changed. It said that she wasn't sad anymore. That she walked out because she knew that she'd done business with God. Even though she didn't have the answers, she knew that she did business with God. I do believe this morning, church,
that God is inviting each one of us. What are we holding on to? What are we holding on to? Let's pray for a moment. Could I ask maybe somebody up in the praise team just to maybe come up and play something for a second? See, when I heard that the songs being sang this morning, and how it expressed this God who loves us, and what that does to each one of us to, you know, with nothing to give but just a hallelujah. You see, God is in this house. God is in this place. And you know, we just sometimes come to church and sometimes it can be a tick box exercise, but we're coming to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when His Word is expounded, and you see a thread moving through the service, God really wants to speak, and God really wants to do business with each individual in this house. And maybe you say, Danny, you know, didn't get much out of that, you know, but one of the key points is, you know, my prayers are selfish. You know, God has blessed me with all that, but I've held it all on to myself. You know, maybe we need to come back to that place of surrender, that everything that we have, because we're taking it nothing with us, church. When we're lowered into that box, into the ground, we're taking nothing with us. Every blessing that we have comes from the Lord. And Hannah's heart was to return it onto the Lord as a blessing. We hold on to the blessings of God too heavily. And maybe you've come in this morning and you say, Danny, you know, that word was just for me. You don't know the week I've had. You know the years I've had. You see, Hannah knew all about it. Year after year, year after year, year after year. And it wasn't to that point where she came and she whispered within her soul. And God saw her heart language and changed. Changed her perspective. That God was in control. And I want to invite you this morning, church. I want you to set it down. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's family. We weren't made to carry this burden. We're called to set it down at the feet of Jesus. And I wonder if you just would whisper within your hearts this invite that goes out to each one of us from God, this invite to bring our mess, to bring our problems, goes out to each one of us. Are you willing to set it down and to walk out of this place and let God do heart surgery? That place of surrender and say, Lord, I know I don't have the answers. Lord, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. But I'm handing it over to you. Lord, I pray that in these moments, Lord, we don't have to speak out audibly. We don't have to make a song and dance of it, Lord. Lord, you see the crevice of our hearts. You see the thoughts in our minds. And I pray from each individual here today, from the young to the oldest, I pray, Lord, that as we do business with you, Lord, that I pray that we would walk out of here being renewed by the Holy Spirit. That our complexion would change, our perspective would change, our expectation would change. Lord, that we're handing our lives into the one who has won the victory. We're handing our lives into the one who created the universe. We're handing our lives into the one who was raised from the dead. Lord, you're trustworthy. Lord, we acknowledge today that you are supreme in all things. And Lord, when we think of them verses in Romans 8 and 20, that all things work together for good for them who love and trust the Lord. And Lord, we stand in that today, and we just pray, Lord, that our complexion would change. Lord, that we would cry out to you. And Lord, you would bring the transformation of the heart. Only you can change the heart, Lord. Money can't change it. Society can't change it. We can't change it. It is you that changes it. So Lord, have your way. Have your way in this place. I ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.